This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Now, of course, in other news today, it is the 1st of July and the sugar tax has come into effect. Now, we've been asking you this morning on the in a poll on the BFM Twitter, will the sugar tax discourage you from drinking sugary drinks? 43% of the 250 votes we received, they said yes, the sugar tax will discourage them from drinking sugary drinks. 33% said no, 24% said maybe. I do think that I would fall on in the 43% that said yes, but then I didn't really drink that many sugary drinks to begin with.
The question is, for how long will you stop your sugary drinks habit?
Yeah, because after a while, a lot of consumers do tend to forget that what the initial price of the sugary drink was to begin with, right? That's one of the effects that we've seen in other countries that have implemented the sugar tax. Now, nevertheless, the excise tax, known as the sugar tax, comes into effect today. It amounts to about 40 cents of tax per litre on soft drinks with more than 5 grams of sugar or sugar-based sweetener per 100 millilitres.
Yeah, so this will include carbonated drinks, flavoured and other non-alcoholic beverages. So for juice and vegetable-based drinks, 40 cent tax per litre will be imposed on drinks with more than 12 grams of sugar per 100 ml. For a deeper dive, and this will impact the consumer sector, we speak to Gan Huan Wen, the analyst at Hong Leong Investment Bank.
So thank you for joining us this morning, Huan Wen. Now, based on the tax structure, theoretically, how much would shelf prices increase by? And do you see the companies passing on the cost to consumers?
So just to quickly recap, the soda tax is going to be 40 cents per litre for any ready drink beverage that contains upwards of 5 grams of sugar per 100 millilitres. Now, there are two exceptions to this. For milk-based beverages, which include Milo and yogurt-flavoured drinks, the threshold is slightly higher at 7 grams, and for fruit and vegetable juices, the threshold is actually 12 grams of sugar. So based on this tax structure, a can of Coke, which is approximately 320 milliliters, would increase by approximately 13 cents, and a 1.5-liter bottle of Coke will increase by 60 cents. So based on what packet size you buy and where you buy that, it represents between 4 to 15% increase in shelf prices. And with regards to your second question, in the case of beverages that far exceed the 5 gram threshold, such as Coke, which has approximately 11 grams of sugar per 100 milliliters, I reckon the companies will most likely pass on the cost to consumers, as it's probably a bit too difficult to reformulate this recipe while maintaining the same taste. However, in the case of beverages that are much closer to the 5 gram threshold, for example, 100 plus, which has 6 grams of sugar, the makers of 100 Plus, i.e. F&N, have already said that they'll be reformulating the recipe to bring down the sugar content to below 5 grams in order to avoid paying the soda tax.
And with the price increases, do you see consumers changing their consumption patterns, resulting in lower sales for the affected companies?
So at this point, it's a bit difficult to ascertain. So the soda tax has actually been implemented in various other countries, like Philippines, Brunei, the UK and some states in America. And the consumption patterns there have been rather mixed. I think should there be a volume decrease in ready-to-drink beverages that are subject to the tax, I expect it to be rather short-lived, as the percentage increase in price is actually quite minimal. Some consumers might consume less in relation to the higher price, but probably get used to it and revert back to old habits, as is what happens with a lot of price increases. I think another important thing to note about this tax is that it doesn't apply to drinks made from powder form like Milo Ice or Teh Tarik that someone would buy from Mama or Kopitiam. So there won't be an increase on these prices. And I think more people consume these sugary drinks at malls and Kopitiams anyway, instead of in can or packet form. So there shouldn't be a very significant change in consumption behavior.
And how are the consumer companies reacting to the sugar tax?
So in addition to the reformulation that I mentioned before with 100 plus, what I've been seeing recently is that ever since the soda tax was announced, FMCG companies have actually started to offer more and more reduced sugar or even zero sugar beverage options. For example, Wanda Coffee have a zero sugar coffee can now that's available at most convenience stores. So in that sense, actually the implementation of soda tax has already had an impact on FMCGs because they've already begun to offer healthy options, and in order to diversify away from product offerings that include added sugar.
And now, considering the sugar tax and its possible implications, what are your top buys and sells for the consumer sector here?
So right now we have a buy call on Berjaya Food, which is not affected by the soda tax at all, as the company is still in the growth mode, given that Starbucks is expected to record same-store sales growth of between 2.5% and 3%, and is also expected to open between 25 to 30 outlets per annum. Given these growth prospects, we reckon the valuations are rather cheap, and it's trading at approximately 20 times forward PE. One of the sell calls we have is Nestle. Fundamentally, the company is well-run, and we expect it to register high single-digit bottom-line growth. However, currently it's valued at a quite expensive valuation of close to 50 times forward PE. Compare that to the parent company and sister company, Nestle Nigeria, both of which trade at forward PEs of 20, 50 times forward PE for Malaysia. Nestle is quite up there.
Thank you so much, Huan Wen. And that was Gan Huan Wen, analyst at Hong Leong Investment Bank, giving us his thoughts on the sugar tax. And earlier, we also did speak about the sugar tax with Troy Donnell. He's the executive director of Nielsen Malaysia. And he pointed out something that that Huan Wen also backed up, which was the fact that companies are now starting to offer more low sugar variants, because this was something that Troy also noticed in other countries where a sugar tax has been implemented, some of which actually saw the share of low sugar variants in the market triple.
That's right. So, I mean, he was also emphasizing some of the strategies. Distribution is going to be affected, and innovation packaging as well as pricing, and also looking at communication. All this has to do with the whole operating of sugar in sugary drinks. Oh.
But net, I think the impact would be that consumers probably will adjust their habits for a while. The question is for how long? And because the sugar tax in Malaysia is not very punitive, let's say compared to Troy mentioned earlier on this morning, Saudi Arabia, where the tax was 50%, that really changed consumption patterns, because that literally meant that your prices of the drinks you used to consume increased quite substantially. So most notably, his top pick is not related to sugar. It was Berjaya Foods. Results came out not too long ago. It's not cheap, trading at 20 times PE, but it is growing very much from a drink base. It's the franchise holder for Starbucks, and that's done really well, although Kenny Roasters, which is their other business, is not doing so well. It was also interesting to note that Nestle Malaysia is trading at 50 times PE. Not cheap, another not cheap stock at all, especially when you compare it with Nestle Switzerland and Nestle Nigeria, which are only trading at 20 times. But you pay for quality.
Now, Berjaya Food was last traded at 1 ringgit and 66.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.